Lord's Day 27, which is found on page 18. We're still talking about the sacrament of baptism, and we're going to focus more on infant baptism, at least a short summary of it. And so let's discuss this together, and please respond to the questions. Is then the outward washing with water itself the washing away of sins? No, for only the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sin. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and washing away of sins? God speaks us with great cause, namely not only to teach us thereby that just as the filthiness of the body is taken away by water, so our sins are taken away by the blood and Spirit of Christ. But much more, that by this divine pledge and token, he may assure us we are as really washed from our sins spiritually as our bodies are washed with water. Are infants also to be baptized? Yes, since they, as well as their parents, belong to the covenant and people of God, and through the blood of Christ, both redemption from sin and from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit who works faith, are promised to them no less than to their parents. They are also by baptism as a sign of the covenant to be engrafted into the church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, in place of which in the New Testament baptism is appointed. Amen. In that question about infant baptism, I really want to focus on one word, and it's promise. Because baptism is about a promise. It's not about a profession. I think it's really important to remember that. The starting point of both sacraments don't start with man's initiation, but it starts with God's initiation. This promise comes all the way back to Genesis 17, when God made a covenant promise to Abraham. When he says this, I will establish. So notice that right there. I will establish. That is, God will establish my covenant between who? Me and you and your descendants after you. So those are the objects of his promise. And then, but what is this promise? It's an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. So from that passage alone, we recognize that it is one, God establishing a covenant promise to his people, not only to them, but also their descendants and the generations that follow, but is also an everlasting covenant. Now the sign, and after that, it goes on to say how circumcision is the sign of the covenant made to Abraham. So that's why God's people from all of these generations up to the New Testament circumcised their children on the eighth day to mark them, to separate them unto God's family from the world. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when Christ has ascended and has accomplished the gospel, there's no need for bloodshed anymore. And so the Holy Spirit that has descended upon the church, Peter says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and those who are far off. So the promise of baptism is for the adults because they're part of the covenant. They're part of the covenant community as a result of hearing and responding to the gospel. For the adults, if the gospel has caused them to repent or turn away from their sin and place their faith in Jesus, they must receive the sign of the covenant, the sign of baptism. They are no longer part of the world, but they belong to God. But if they are set apart from the world, so must their children be set apart. And that's why Peter continues to say that this promise is not just to you, but is also to your children. which heavily reflects the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 17. And the Abrahamic covenant is what Peter is referring to here in regards to the promise. And so God still promises us and our children and our children's children that he will be our God and we will be his people. Just like every time, I know it doesn't rain a whole lot in California, but when it does and we see a nice rainbow, it's a sign to us of God's promise that he will never flood the earth again. And so the sign of baptism is also showing us of God's covenant faithfulness to his people, that they belong to him and he belongs to them. Now, of course, as infants, this is where the debate usually comes up, infants are not able to respond to the gospel call. However, as parents, we are commanded to raise them up and train them up in the admonition of the Lord, Paul says in Ephesians 6. Jesus says to make disciples of all nations. Well, guess what? As parents, your first disciples are your children that you are making. You are discipling your children because they are part of the covenant community. And so the catechism also states how children, these children of promise, after receiving the sign of the covenant, must be incorporated into the church, meaning they must hear Christ preach. They must see Christ exemplified in the lives of God's people. They must receive prayer and encouragement. These are children of promise, and they not only is it the responsibility of the parents, but it's also the responsibility of the covenant community, the church body. They must be brought to Jesus again and again, just like we need to be brought to Jesus again and again. And the Holy Spirit, who works through all of those means, through primarily the means of the Word of God, is promised to them until one day, Lord willing, they will too repent and believe in Christ for themselves. The question often is brought up is that what happens if they reject the faith? What do we make of their baptism? Well, their baptism doesn't become invalid. The mark of baptism will stay with them for the rest of their life. And just because they're denying the faith doesn't mean they will always deny the faith. As long as they are still breathing, God knows who belongs to him, and he hasn't lost one of his own. But I also find this sort of question interesting because it almost assumes that this can't happen for adult baptisms. That's why we must look at baptism as a not as a profession, but as a promise. It's not about what we have done, but it's about what God has done in Jesus Christ. He is the hope of every sinner. It is a promise that all who turn to Christ will be cleansed of all of their sin. It is the promise that the Holy Spirit, through the Word, creates faith with even the most hardened hearts. Baptism is God's pledge to his people, saying, through my Son, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Let's conclude a summary of Lord's Day 27 with that.